Let us now turn to read God's word. And our reading this evening is from the New Testament and from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 34. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for they were about 2,000 of them, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and say, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath a compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thine hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press or in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looking round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant to us all understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship and our praise, singing this time from a portion of Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we're singing from verse 18 to the end of that psalm. The Lord is ever nigh to them that be of broken spirit. To them his safety doth afford that are in heart contrite. The troubles that afflict the just in number many be, but yet at length out of them all the Lord doth set him free. He carefully his bones doth keep, whatever can befall, that not so much as one of them can broken be at all. Ill shall the wicked slay, laid waste shall be he who hate the just. The Lord redeems his servants' souls, none perish that him trust. Psalm 34 at verse 18 to the end, the Lord is ever nigh. Would you come with me this evening to the portion we read there to Mark's Gospel in chapter 5, and the episode and event that begins at verse 25 to 34 of this woman who came to touch the hem of the Lord himself. And a certain woman who had the issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things and was healed, but not just simply healed, but was also challenged by the Lord to make known publicly just what had happened to her. When we come to individual experiences in the scriptures and the different events of the scriptures, we can get out of any one of them comfort, consolation, challenge, spiritual blessing and spiritual effect. But there is also benefit in weaving together all these different several pictures and lessons together to make a broader, bigger, richer picture. And that's what we have in Mark's Gospel in several of these chapters together here. The very end of chapter 4, we have the experience at verse 39 of the way in which they were in the storm, and the way in which the Lord arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. The way in which he had power and authority over creation to the effect that the wind and the waves obeyed him. We move into chapter 5 and we find this man possessed by legion, many evil spirits possessing him. And the way in which, again, it's quite remarkable at verse 13. They could do nothing until we read these words, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave." Bringing home again the way in which he had authority over these evil spirits. The experience of Jairus' daughter brings home to us the way in which he had the authority and the power over the last enemy of death itself. And intermingled with that event of Jairus' daughter, we have this woman with the issue of blood. Bringing yet again one further picture that we can weave together of the Lord Jesus Christ in the realm of life itself. With all of the difficulties that life might hold, and illness is but one of them. But he's there shown to be again sovereign Lord over life and what it holds. He has the authority, he has the power then. But always in that exercise of power and authority, it is married with concern and love to each and to all that he meets round about him. He is neither defeated, nor is he isolated. And so therefore, this woman meets him. But not only does she meet him, but all of us need to meet him tonight. To know that power in our lives changing us from day to day. We need to trust and to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. Whenever you go through the gospel stories, you read of the way in which there was almost always a crowd attracted wherever the Lord was because of what he was doing or because of what he was saying. And here we have a crowd around the Lord, and in amongst that crowd there is a man's servant and this woman. They had a different attitude from all the rest that were there gathered. This man fell at the feet of the Lord, asking that you would come and lay hands on Jairus' daughter. This woman, when she was healed, did exactly the same thing and fell at his feet. And the story that we've got here is not so much about the crowds, but the story is about these two people and the way they met the Lord and the way in which the Lord met them in their need and changed their lives in quite a dramatic and a very permanent way. And although, yes, there's that lesson, there is that picture given us, we can take it and we can apply it to ourselves today, because although we might not have many in church yet, nevertheless, whatever the message is preached amongst the few or the many who gather in God's name today, tonight, perhaps even in our own congregation, there is one who is in trouble. Somebody who is carrying a heavy load. And there is no relief yet known or come to visit you, that person. And you may be just like this woman, stretching out your hand for someone to help. And there is only one who can help, and there is only one who can meet your need. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can touch your life, and he can address your problem, and he can speak to you the words to encourage and give you peace. And it's quite remarkable the contrast that is given to us quite obviously in the experience of these two episodes, or these the episode here and the one that was before it, because in the one that was before it, the owner of the swine, having lost their flocks, the one cry that they had was to the Lord, please go. And yet we move to Jairus' daughter, and we move to this woman, but to Jairus' daughter, and the cry is, please come. The many who want to leave because they've lost their property. The many who sit underneath the gospel maybe and hear the gospel coming to them and it disturbs them. And they want to be left in peace, and they echo these same words to the Lord, go. And we've got to be careful when we say that, because, and warn others about it, because the Lord indeed answers. And he left. But the contrast we have is with Jairus' daughter, ill as she was. And he goes and seeks the help from the Lord, and they go on the journey. But that journey is interrupted by this woman with the disease and the issue for 12 years. The Lord is not resentful. He's not bitter or hostile to her pleas or to her cries. There is no reticence at all about the interruption that comes, even on a solemn, serious mission as he is engaged on, because the daughter is close to death. But the Lord takes it as yet another opportunity to care, to help, and to strengthen others. We can call out to the Lord. And we can sometimes envisage ourselves very similar to this woman, just a nobody, we might say. Not much going for us at all in life. And we've got to carry a problem maybe not of the same nature, but certainly of the same intensity and effect upon us as on upon her. And we can call out to the Lord, just the same way as these people outside the city walls, they were blind and they called out when Jesus was passing by. There was no resentment then, no resentment here, no resentment with ourselves. The Lord is the one who is sympathetic to the needs of his people and will meet us at that need in a most appropriate way to strengthen us, to help us, and to encourage us. Therefore, tonight, let's come to look at this woman and some of the lessons that we can get from her for ourselves. The first thing I want us to think about is her condition. We're not altogether clear what precisely was wrong with her. Was it an continuous illness of constant bleeding, or was it something that was but periodic? Whatever it was lasting over 12 years. And we're told the effect it had upon her of a long time. She had tried everything. She had spent all that she had. And she was no better for that effort or commitment. There was no recovery. There was no respite or relief. In fact, she was the poorer for all of it, because it had all been spent in vain, and she was getting worse. That's the very words that Mark gives us. This episode is spoken of in Luke's Gospel as well, and of course, Luke being the physician, he had a more precise, perhaps, diagnosis of her. He simply says she was incurable. But Mark is all the more blunt. There was no betterment. In fact, she's getting worse. Her health, her wealth had been touched. Her status, understanding in society had been compromised. She was, in the judgment of many, an outcast to be avoided. She was a lonely person. How often her hopes would have been raised by the latest remedy that might have been made known, only to be cast down when the remedy didn't work. High expectations with her, but expectations that were never ever realized. Promises held out, but promises never delivered. The pain, the despondency, the highs and the lows of her emotions. We are looking at something that was incurable. We're also looking at something that was inevitable. Where was she heading? What destination was the path that she's on going to take her to? Her strength was going down day after day after day. And try whatever she could, it wasn't working. There was no healing for her. Incurable, inevitable. And again, we cannot but see the spiritual application of all these descriptions to describe not just simply her condition specifically, but all of her conditions together. Sin spoils. Sin is incurable by our own efforts, and sin brings us down into an inevitable judgment underneath God. Sin distorts and twists our thoughts, our emotions, our understandings. Sin destroys. We cannot face it, we cannot hope to stop it, and there is no reversing of it. We need to see ourselves underneath these words and with these judgments applying to ourselves, because we are spiritually deformed. We have an illness in our soul that we cannot cure ourselves. Whatever else we might learn, discover, experience in all the riches of life as it comes to us today, growing deeper and richer with each passing day, whatever else life holds for us, of this we can be sure. And this we need to acknowledge. And this we need to face up with. We have a problem. And the problem is sin upon our soul and in our conscience. And we cannot address it in a way to cure it or to remove it. We might try to be distracted or to swamp it or to cover it up in some way. And we might try to go and drink from the things that the world offers day after day round about us. But from time to time, sin will break through that effort and sin will confront us in all of its fearfulness. And always, always there is that destination it brings us to. Separation from God. Knowing we've done wrong. We try to run, we try to hide. But it doesn't work. And we're building a wall every day and every year, adding to it one brick at a time with the things that we do that are judged by God. The condition of this woman and the way in which it says much about our spiritual condition as sinners in the hand of a holy God. But if that was her condition, what was her confidence? Again, look at the crowd round about the Lord, pushing, following him. She was only one, but she was the one who had a sense and an awareness of her need, a conviction that perhaps, just perhaps, the Lord might help her. There were many reasons that could hold her back. She was not important. She was only one in a vast crowd, and there was no rank or status, influence or power attached to her. The Lord was, after all, on his way to deal with Jairus' daughter, and there was a life or death situation confronting her as he walked on the way. And why should she intervene at that crucial moment with her condition? Or again, she's tried so many. None of them have worked. So why will the Lord be different? So yes, you can see all of the obstacles and the barriers that might have been welling up inside her. But she had the confidence to override all of these. She had a faith. It might have been weak. It might have been timid. But she had a faith, a confidence, that if she just but touched the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. That seemed to be the thinking of the day. If you go to chapter 3, verse 10, if you go to chapter 6, you'll find there that there's the very same things that are spoken of there. Oh, if only these people pressing round Jesus could touch his clothes, or if he would come and touch them, they would be healed. And that's the confidence this woman had. Just to touch him. To reach out with that confidence and with that faith. Today, many gather in churches, maybe not just many, with ourselves, but in other places put together. We do have people coming to church today, perhaps out of habit, perhaps out of custom, just to meet and talk with others, perhaps. But that's for others. But perhaps there is one, just to be said at the very beginning. There is one with a sincere spiritual awareness of need. And all that they want is to touch the Lord or to be touched by the Lord. To know his power healing and restoring that person's life. And so there might be one listening attentively to what is being said and prepared to push through all the things and the fillings that come into our lives, that crowd our lives, all the obstacles that might be raised up against him or her. There might be that person with that confidence, that desire, that longing. And he or she is not content to go home or to go away with anything less than this very experience which the Lord has spoken of to her. Go in peace. We gather together, even ourselves as a congregation, and we come when the Lord works in our souls, preparing us. When the Lord exercises our soul and our life and our desires, we come not because of any material or any social reason gathering us together. But we all know the experience of simply coming with this desire and with this longing and with this confidence. Lord, meet with me here today. Meet with me here in the service and in the sermon. We can make up just a little argument with the Lord and a little prayer that we might talk with him about, speaking of our need and our anxiety that's pressing upon us, speaking of the things that we've tried and they've not worked with us, and the way in which we need him, and without him we're bankrupt. And our prayer is that he would touch, that he would meet, that he would heal our soul. The confidence that she had as she stretched out to the Lord, the confidence that we have if we are his and we meet here, holding our lives as empty vessels that the Lord would pour of his goodness and his blessing upon us, to send us on our way rejoicing. As Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord be in your strength. So there we have it. Yes, her condition, her confidence. What else do we see here but her change, the things that happened to her? She'd been looking for 12 years for something to happen, and here it happened to her in an instant. She had been plagued and troubled as each year went by, and it got worse with the passing of each year. What she had spent all her money on and what she had looked for with expectation in all these other different places, she now at last experienced in her life. She had been healed. And it surged through her body. That's what it tells us. It surged through her, and she knew it in herself. Everything was affected. There was an altogether new dimension, new direction. There was a newness within her. She had been changed. And again, if we take the spiritual application that we've been working on and mentioning, we can see the way in which the person who is weary, perhaps weary with a heavy conscience, with a spiritual concern, the person who is exercised about meeting the Lord or seeking forgiveness and pardon in their soul, and they're looking for relief and respite, they spend their time, they spend their effort, they spend their money looking for it, and have failed. And all the doors that they've tried have been at last shut in their face. And in the end, they listen to the gospel and they turn to the Lord and they find his power in their life. They've got this newness, this new understanding of themselves, this new understanding of the Lord. they'll experience that change that the scriptures speak about. Old has passed away and all things have become new. Or to take it just simply down to what we were thinking of, was it last Lord's Day morning? In Romans chapter 5, in the first few verses, what are the consequences of justification by faith? We have joy and we have peace. That's the experiences that Paul is speaking of and setting out there in Romans chapter 5. But what we're talking about here is the flesh and blood equivalent for ourselves. Personal dealings with Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That's what others need today. There are so many lonely, empty, anxious, concerned people round about us, and they create a veneer upon their life that all is well with them. But when you get below the surface, you begin to see their true spiritual need and nature. And what we need and what they need to hear is the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet their need and fill their lives. But first of all, there must be that spiritual confrontation and change. There must be, first of all, that pardon and forgiveness for the sins they have committed. And that can only be achieved and accomplished through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross and their trust in Him for what He has done. So therefore, there must be that coming to Him and that experience of His power as well as His words in their soul. And that alone is the way in which we can be changed permanently and forever. And so this woman, having experienced that change, the Lord does not allow her to slide away unnoticed in the crowd once again. He poses the question that challenges her: who touched me? He didn't ask the question because he was strange to its answer himself. But he asked the question for the woman. She had that amazing healing in herself. But now the circle has to be completed. You remember the way in which there were 10 lepers and the Lord cleansed all 10, but only one came back to thank the Lord for what had been done for him. And there is that closing of the circle that has to be achieved and accomplished. And that's why the Lord asked this question of her. She believed in her heart, but she had not yet confessed with her mouth. And she knew the arrow of that question was aimed at her. The disciples just simply acted, well, with the crowd round about, they took the literal sense and the literal meaning of what the Lord was saying. There's a lot round about, there's a crowd round about, they're all pushing and jostling with each other, and why do you ask who touched you? There was that lack of recognition and insight. There was no understanding on their part of what had happened to that woman. And so there's that challenge goes out. He asked the question for her sake, because he wanted her to come forward and state plainly and publicly what had happened to her. That she had been healed and cleansed physically, spiritually. But also there perhaps was an encouragement as a side effect maybe for Jairus himself. Because after all, he said, and it was a right assessment, that the daughter was close to death. And here is the Lord delaying And yet there needs to be encouragement given to him. The dealing with this woman would have encouraged Jairus in his anxieties for his daughter's good and well-being. The challenge that was put out, and that was because of this confession that the Lord wanted to hear from her. There was a gratitude with her, but there was also courage with her, because it wasn't easy for this woman to speak out. Shaking she might well have been, but she told the whole story. We're told she told all the truth of what had happened to her, what she was like, and what she was now feeling. The emphasis upon the fullness of what she had just experienced, fresh bubbling up in her soul. There might well have been many holes and defects in the way she spoke and represented what happened. But she could not avoid the sheer joy, the personal involvement, the deep sense of peace that the Lord had brought into her life. And the Lord, in summarizing it and speaking to her, and says, "Go in peace. Your faith hath made you whole." What is it that the Lord focuses upon? What is it that the Lord singles out? Not the fact that she touched the hem of his garment, but rather that she came in faith and confidence, trusting in him. She left with inner peace, knowing of the good and well-being in her soul. The experience and the blessing of forgiveness, the rest, the peace, that acceptance with God that we need. Tranquility and serenity in our soul and in our conscience comes from reaching out, not physically, but in faith, trusting in Jesus Christ to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The one who has the power to forgive, to change, and to bestow a life in all its fullness, richness, and abundance upon each and every one of his people. The Lord met her, the Lord touched her and healed her. And now she speaks out of what she's had from his hand. It wasn't done in a great showy way, but it was done with a simple, humble, but firm conviction, testifying to what the Lord had done for her. Her confession of the way in which the Lord had helped her. James Simpson, the man who was responsible for chloroform, was dying. And a friend there sitting with him said to him, he was a Christian, Simpson. The friend spoke to encourage him and said, "You will soon be resting on the bosom of your Saviour." And to that, James Simpson replied, "I don't know as I can do that, but I think I have hold of the hem of his garment." There wasn't any great boasting of his faith, but there was that humble acknowledgement that he was trusting in and relying upon the Lord. It's not the strength of our faith that matters. It is a living faith. However weak and timid it might be, it is a faith in a strong Saviour who saves. a simple reliance and a confidence and a trust that he can save my soul. So therefore the question we have to ask ourselves tonight, do we know that touch upon our soul? Have we known that change in our lives? And most importantly, have we got that peace and that quietness possessing us? A tranquility in the face of all that life might throw at us and hold for us. A quietness, a firm quietness and peace, that when death comes to visit and knock at our door and gather us from the scene of time, and when we are ushered before the Lord God on that day of judgment, have we got these simple arguments that will prevail when the things urgent and important and serious are laid out before us? And what argument will we have? And what will we be leaning upon? And the only thing that will stand the test then is the experience this woman had here. That confident stretching out in faith, relying upon and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, my Savior, who will take me through life and take me through death and take me through judgment to be with himself. The touch of the hem of the garment of the Lord in faith with confidence. Do we know his touch then coming back to heal, change our life and soul? Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, once again we come before thee acknowledging thy grace and thy goodness to us under gospel ministry. We thank thee for the way in which thou dost speak to us in these familiar tones, with the familiar message that we know so well from the gospel narrative. And we pray, Lord, that we might be disturbed in our thinking by the work of thy Spirit within us, and that we might realize the scale and the breadth of the need of our soul, that we might close down all options but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and that we might know him and his touch of power upon our soul to change, to forgive, to pardon. Bless us, Lord, we pray, each one of us alone and apart here tonight. Deal with us in thy grace and make thy love known to thy children. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close tonight by singing from the 30th Psalm. Psalm 30 at the beginning, and verses 1 through 4. Lord, I will thee extol, for thou hast lifted me on high, and over me thou to rejoice madest not mine enemy. O thou who art the Lord my God, I in distress to thee with loud cries lifted up my voice, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, my soul thou hast brought up and rescued from the grave, that I to pit should not go down. Alive thou didst me save. O ye that are his holy ones, sing praise unto the Lord, and give unto him thanks when ye his holiness record. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 4. Lord, I will thee extol. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit